Good morning. It is time to get up with the big man. He is back. And if he's better than ever, he's about to shake up absolutely everything. We've got the highlights. Meanwhile, LeBron and Steph both putting together big nights and big wins. But we'll tell you why only one of them has any real chance. And then I asked the questions. Today, Lewis Riddick is here with all the answers. Stuff is happening, people. It's a Wednesday, and it's time to get up starting right now. Let's do this. Come on. Look at the squad we got today. Lewis and Allen are here. And is it Kimberly Martin and Field Yates? Wesleyan University is well represented today. All we need is Lin-Manuel Miranda, and we're going to be off the charts. Oh, plus Chinne Agumoke is here on all the basketball, the men's and the women's. Let's go. Let's start, Allen, with the game of the night last night, the comeback of the night, the return of the big man, Joel Embiid, in the lineup for the first time since January 30th, facing the Thunder. No Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because whatever. 8 minutes left in the first quarter. Thunder up six. Embiid on defense.
Yeah, and his presence alone in the paint makes such a difference for the Sixers defensively, and defense turns to offense. Tobias Harris had a big game, too. Seemed like he loved having the big man back.
Embiid fatigued just 4 minutes in, but doing what he can. And here he is, watch him working his typical mid-range.
This is what he does, but he also does this. He lets you know how tired he is. And look at the Donjoy right there. Offensive linemen wear those type of braces, clearly for the knee.
12 first half points for Embiid. All right, to the second half we go. Critical games for Philly. This is Kelly Oubre. He had a big night. Game's leading scorer with 25. It's a two-point game less than a minute later. Embiid, free throw line. Yes, tied at 101. Now we're a minute left. Sixers down by one. Watch Embiid working inside for the rebound plus the foul, Allen.
Exactly what he does, too, against the rebound. He gets the foul, almost an and-one, falls down. Like, he's exhausted, but this is what you expect. He hasn't played in several months, over 50 games. Conditioning going to be a factor for him.
Yeah, but they made the foul shots anyway, and then here he is on the defensive end. Embiid, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists in 29 minutes. Sixers come back, and they win it, 109-105. Here he comes. Joel, talk to me.
It took a toll mentally. I just want to come back. You know, I think we got a chance, even, you know, at the level that I'm at. And I'm only going to get better. But, you know, this one was probably the hardest by far, you know, especially mentally.
Okay, so Chinne Agumoke up with us as well as Allen. So Chinne, I've been now we've seen one game of it. I've been trying to get my mind around this since we found out he was coming back. What does a healthy Joel Embiid, which in theory, let's say 2 weeks from now, we should have. What does he make Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference?
Joel Embiid returning is like when the school bully was out for a week from class and showed back up at school, and all the students get nervous when he sits back in class and they're like, oh my gosh, he's back. The Sixers, they were down 11 with 7 minutes left and still down when Joel Embiid checked himself back in. Now, it was funny to watch because my man was tired. The guy was tired and playing through fatigue. He naturally didn't have that usual cardio, and some of his initial first shots were front rim. But when the game slows down and it goes possession by possession, which the playoffs will be like, he delivered. Now, yesterday it was from the free throw line where he is a bully and a monster. And it was also defensively where he was able to get stops so that Philly can run, something that they really love to do. Those are his go-tos. But once his stamina comes back, all teams know that the 30-point, 12-rebound, double-team demanding bully is back in the Eastern Conference, and that changes the entire landscape.
Well, they win again last night. With him in the lineup this year, they have the second-best record in the NBA, behind only Boston. So let's talk about the schedule the rest of the way, Allen. You were doing a little research. He's got a chance, and they've got a chance to get red hot.
Yeah, and they actually might play their way out of the play-in if they get hot, because you look at the last six games of the season for them, and they have the easiest remaining strength of schedule of any of the contenders in the East. Any of the teams that are playing for a playoff spot, it's real easy. And when I say easy, look at this.
Yeah.
What they have left are games that, like you were talking about, the Pistons at home. You're talking about the Nets at home. They go on there. They play Memphis. San Antonio's been playing well, but they're still a team with a losing record. Their biggest game against Miami tomorrow night. That's their toughest one. They're battling them right now in the play-in. But if they get hot and he can play some minutes, and by the way, when you're playing bad teams late in the season, You know they're not trying to win.
Right.
You might not have to play him 30 minutes. You might only have to play him a few minutes. You can get him the rest that he needs so that he's not extending himself before the postseason. This sets up for the Sixers to get themselves in a really good position in the postseason.
Again, he played 29 minutes last night. And, Chiney, I was talking with Legler about this yesterday. The delicious first-round matchup that we could get would be the Sixers against Doc, right? I mean, excuse me, the Sixers Sixers against Doc in Milwaukee. If he plays his way, they get one win, the 7-8 game, they win that into the two matchup, and they wind up getting Doc Rivers. How about that matchup in the first round?
Look, Milwaukee is so mysterious to me, and in not such a good way, because what I see when it comes to the Bucks, Giannis can have 35 and 15, but they can still lose. Mind you, Dame in and out of the lineup, but they still remain number two in the standings in the East. The Sixers, when you think about these storylines, yes, that is going to be delicious, and they're going to be a bad matchup for anybody because the Bucks' issue has consistently been perimeter defense. Did you see the results of the game last night versus the Wizards? And then also transition defense kills them. So if you go up against a Sixers team that Tyrese Maxey did not play yesterday, but he kills you in transition offense. Then you've got Joel Embiid back. You're looking at dynamics where it almost feels like it could potentially be a coin flip.
Absolutely, which would be a fascinating first round and scary time for Doc Rivers for sure. Alan, Chiney, stay close by. Much more on the hoops as we go, including that Bucks game last night. But now to the NFL, because Yates is here and his mock draft is up. Mock 2.0, and Yates has four quarterbacks in the top five picks. He has Minnesota trading up for J.J. McCarthy. He also has three wide receivers in the top 10, and he has the Jets taking tight end Brock Bowers, which, frankly, if that happens, I may have to excuse myself from the set. That is exactly what they should not do. But let's not get ourselves sidetracked with that right now. Yates, let's go. Let's start right at the very top. I have so many people, including the gentleman seated to my right now, and Dan Orlovsky and so many others, who have changed their minds or come to the conclusion that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback prospect in this draft. Why do you still have Caleb Williams at number one?
Because the Bears are taking him, Greeny, right? I mean, there are very few things, maybe just one thing in the entire 2024 NFL draft that feel like they are a formality at this point. But the only thing that is the Chicago Bears taking Caleb Williams. We've gotten to the point where both Bears GM Ryan Poles and head coach Matt Eberflus have discussed Caleb's strengths publicly. Not the kind of thing you do that when you are not planning on taking that player. And while, you know, I'm a huge fan of Jaden Daniels, as a matter of fact, the grades between he and Caleb Williams are so slim that they're the top two players overall on my board, regardless of position. At this point, it feels like the Bears have kind of cast their die. It is going to be Caleb Williams going to Chicago. And if I felt like there was a chance that Jaden Daniels could still make his way to the Bears at number one, I would have considered it. But I do feel as though at this point, the NFL draft sort of begins with pick two, with the Washington Commanders currently scheduled to make that selection.
Kmart, that seems to go in place with what you were telling me this morning. You hear from everyone you talk to.
I even hit up GMs and execs and say, is there any chance that Washington somehow ends round one with Caleb Williams? And they're like, no. Like, he's going to Chicago. And I say, that'd be interesting. Wouldn't it be great if we woke up in a world where, like, Caleb was reunited with, like, Cliff Kingsbury and the DC kid comes home? But any time I try to put that out there, people put that fire out very quickly. Jaden Daniels is the name that I hear most often connected to Washington. J.J. McCarthy is a guy right there in that number three spot that I hear a lot of teams be interested in him. So I'm fascinated because I'm covering the Commanders.
All right. So, Lewis, 3 weeks from tomorrow night, you and I will be sitting there in Detroit when these decisions get made. And the Caleb Williams of it all, it just continues to feel like, I get it. I mean, Kmart and Field, I don't disagree with what they're saying. Sure. That certainly is what the consensus seems to be.
Yep.
However, there just doesn't feel like everything has checked itself out yet. Caleb versus Jaden, among other things, I know you believe that Jaden is maybe even by just this much the superior prospect.
Yeah, look, I think you have to take a 360-degree approach when you're looking at these guys, right? So you have to evaluate both what they do on the field and the feelings that you get from them personally off the field and the feeling that you get when you talk to other people about how they conduct themselves off the field from a leadership preparation, how he gets on with his teammates, all of that. So when you're able to get up close and personal with these two guys, and look, I was able to get up and close and personal and interview both of them, and I love them both. I'll tell you what, look, Caleb Williams, when I met him, look, you hear all the stuff that you read, right, about him, about maybe he doesn't want to go to Chicago, maybe his family's going to be, you know, work some in some way a negative in his career. I don't believe any of that. And I believe that this guy is absolutely committed to being great. I really do. Jaden Daniels, when I stood next to him, it was very similar to how I felt when I was next to C.J. Stroud last year. This is a guy who has a commanding presence. He has a presence that people want to be around. His teammates flock to him. He's authentically, you know, real about who he is. He's not a very loud, boisterous individual. And so he didn't, during his pro day, try to act like something that he wasn't. The things that you're seeing here on these clips are naturally who he is. And he was with his guys nonstop. And it was just a nice, flowing type of relationship that he had with them. Then when you watch him throw, okay, you stand behind him, you stand 2 feet from him, and you listen to the ball come off of his hand. That spiral is like a bullet. I mean, and it is, he can change speed, he can change arm angles. He's bigger than people think. People think like he's 6'4", 150 pounds or something ridiculous. His lower body is built up now. He is still thin up top. Forget all this stuff you're hearing about, well, you're going to have durability in the NFL, you're going to be able to take big hits. If Josh Allen takes the wrong hit to his lower body, it's going to be a problem. Jaden Daniels is going to be fine from a body type perspective. And he can make any throw you need. And I can tell you this, he doesn't live outside of structure. He wants to play in structure. He's the best quarterback in college football in structure. But he can burn you outside of structure with his ability to run like no one has ever seen. That's why for me, when you're taking both of these guys, I'm putting him slightly ahead of him right now. And that's the guy who I'd go with.
The other fascinating thing that I think we have to remember is that within these buildings, there's usually a general consensus on all the quarterbacks.
Right.
Between the owner, the GM, and the head coach, and the coaching staff, personnel departments. It's very rare that everybody is like, that is the guy. Some people might like Jaden. Some people might like Caleb. Some people might like Drake May. And what I find fascinating is when draft day comes, whose voice ends up being the most important? Most people assume it's going to be the GM. That is not always the case. So I'm really fascinated to see how this pans out.
The only thing I'll say is this. Look, you know what? Before you can really, like, definitively, especially when the guys are stacked this closely, that you can really kind of, like, differentiate them, you have to be near them.
Right.
You have to be up close and personal to them. Like, last year when I was around CJ and when I was around Bryce, that was it for me. I liked CJ anyway, but when I saw him, it kind of just crystallized it. These three workouts that I went to, it crystallized it for me. Although I will say this, Drake May has got an absolute bazooka for an arm. That film doesn't do it any justice. That's why you need to see these guys in person.
Drake May's got a little Josh Allen in him, doesn't
he?
I mean, in a lot of different ways.
No question.
Well, you know what? I've got so much time for this today. Should I take a break and we'll come back with Field? I just don't want to get us behind the clock. We will come back with much more with Yates. Again, his mock is up. I want to get into J.J. McCarthy versus Drake May. We've got a lot to do here, people. So let's get to that as we go. So many more questions about the approaching NFL draft. In fact, I've got five direct ones that Lewis is going to answer as the hour continues. Plus, the Jets have gotten this offseason exactly right. Let's find out what everybody here thinks they're capable of this year. And everyone, I'll be listening closely as we continue next. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot.
taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Get Up is brought to you by FX's American Horror Story, Delicate, returns with part 2 tonight on FX, stream on Hulu. Hey, everybody, quickly, I just want you to hear Jim Harbaugh yesterday reminding everyone he is never at a loss for words.
It's like the start of the new year. Happy New Year. That first day of school, just found out your wife was pregnant. Hey, we're gonna have a child. Great. I mean, it's locked, cocked, ready to rock. I'm just like, let's go, you know?
I don't.
Okay.
There's a lot there.
There's so much there.
There's a lot going on there. he was asked, by the way, how he feels about the start of the off-season
program. The off-season.
That's how he feels. It's there. Anyway.
That's a lot.
He's a beautiful man. So is Field Yates. And so Yates, he's got the mock draft up there right now. And so I want to do a little something we're going to call mock draft questions for Field Yates. We'll call it playing the field, as you see his top 10 in his current mock. Let's start with this. At the wide receiver position, why Marvin Harrison over Malik Nabers at number 4? Yates.
Yeah, Greeny, it's nip and tuck, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the most pro-ready prospect in the entire class. Big, powerful, smooth, outstanding body control. 28 receiving touchdowns over the past 2 seasons, the most in all of FBS. I think he's the best wide receiver prior to the catch in the entire NFL draft. But if Malik Nabers ends up going ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., I won't be totally surprised.
I'm coming to you on that one later this hour, Lewis. Meanwhile, at the Patriots at 3, you have them taking Drake May at number 3. A lot of people wondering whether they should trade out of that spot. Why do they go with the QB?
Because you have an opportunity here. You cannot get rid of the opportunity to take a kid who could become your 10-year starting quarterback. Now, they must work hard to develop Drake May. This must be a slow play for Drake May in New England. There's a reason why the team signed Jacoby Brissett. This team is bereft of weapons around him, but Drake May has way too much upside to pass on at pick number 3.
And that brings us then to the 4th quarterback in your mock, and that's J.J. McCarthy, whose stock has been skyrocketing. Why do you have him a top 5 pick?
Yeah, well, the Minnesota Vikings seem to be lurking right now after they made that trade with the Houston Texans. You think about the situation, the fit, it would be an ideal fit with Kevin O'Connell in that offense. It, of course, has shades of that Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay tree. Beyond that, 2 excellent wide receivers, a terrific tight end, and 2 great offensive tackles. J.J. McCarthy could be the Vikings starting quarterback in week 1 and thrive as well for a team that wants to get back into the playoffs next year, Greeny.
I've been fascinated, Lewis, watching J.J. McCarthy's stock rise so fast and so much since the last game was played. Not a game has been played since we were talking about him maybe late first round. Now, all of a sudden, could you see a world in which he challenges Drake May to be the 3rd quarterback off the board?
Sure, because all it takes is 1. And quite honestly, look, Greeny, I think what happens is a lot of times in our world, we kind of catch up to what is being discussed within the NFL world all during the fall anyway. There are people who like J.J. McCarthy all year long. So now you're just starting to get wind of it as the conversation really starts to heat up. People love the fact that he played for Coach Harbaugh. He was a winner. He has a lot of starts underneath his belt. They love his athleticism. They love when his number was called, he delivered. No, the offense wasn't built around him. This was not a gun-centric, throw the football 45-time-centric type of team that was built outside in. It was built inside out. It's an offensive line running game, play-action passing game type of team. But when they asked him to make some throws, He made some of the best, most accurate pinpoint throws in all structures, whether it be in the pocket, outside the pocket, rolling left, rolling right. That Nebraska game right there, he made a throw rolling left in the red zone for a touchdown in the back of the end zone that if it was Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, we'd be going, oh, my God, he's the next Patrick Mahomes. But he makes it, and you go, and people go, eh, but it's against Nebraska. You know, so it's like, see, what's happening is people are picking and choosing what they want to like about this young man. But I'll tell you what, his tape is legit. And I think now we're just catching wind of what people have been saying about him all fall.
Let's talk about the trades came out. Mm-hmm. Because it's Minnesota, it's Denver, it's the Raiders, it's the Giants.
Yes.
What are we hearing?
So it's for me, when I think about J.J. McCarthy, it's not a question of will he be a top five pick. He will be. And it's a question of which spot within the top five he goes. Because talking to sources up until last night, I've heard the Patriots, Minnesota, and the Giants are all interested in, they're all expected to take a quarterback, but they are interested in him. So now it becomes really fascinating because the Giants are at six, but Minnesota's been on the phone. They're trying to move up. We know that they're gonna target somebody, and I think they want J.J. McCarthy as well. So if you are the Patriots, you mentioned Jacoby Brissett being there. Yeah, I could see in a world where they had said, you know, we've got Jacoby, let's trade back and build up for the next quarterback. But if people in that building, like J.J. McCarthy, you don't want the Giants to get him. You don't want the Vikings to get him. You don't want to move out of three. And if you're the Giants, you're at six. Are you going to be able to move up? Can the Vikings move up? Because I don't think they have a second. Like, some of their mid-round picks, they're kind of missing some. So I don't know if they're going to be able to move up to the point where they can get ahead of some of these needy teams. And also the Raiders are a fascinating one.
Yeah, you know, the whole debate about, especially when you're talking, when it's centered around the Giants, centered around the Patriots, about do they trade back, build around a future. It's like, well, okay, let's just put it this way. Do you know that there's going to be a future franchise, decades-long quarterback available next year?
Yeah.
You know that there's even going to be? You never pass on this chance, even if it means sitting him, putting him on ice for a minute, simply because of the fact that, you know, you one, don't think he's ready, two, you don't think you have the infrastructure around him. But you don't pass on guys like this. And people aren't going to pass on J.J. You're right. They're not going to pass on Drake. They're not going to pass on Jaden. There's going to be a lot of jockeying. It's just a matter of who do people prefer? And that's the thing. It's so subjective here. There are teams, no question, that will like J.J. McCarthy's athleticism. They will like the fact that he played in a program that did nothing but win, that he made big-time throws when he needed to. And they're going to love the fact that this offseason and at his pro day, whether you agree with this or not, that the guy was lights out. They're going to love it. Drake May, look, there's obviously the conversation around him is that, look, he could really stand to sit for a year. But I'm telling you, if you were at his pro day and you watch this young man and you look at the work that he is putting in, you're going to be enamored with what he brings to the table. And I'll tell you this. Look, you saw what Josh Allen did.
Yeah.
You saw how Josh Allen made the strides once he got to the NFL. The amount of development that has gone into improving quarterback mechanics, accuracy, and efficiency is otherworldly right now. So do not discount Drake May starting right away.
Well, and the guy who did that with Josh Allen was Brian Daboll, which is why I love the idea of the Giants finding a way to get Drake May, play one more season of Daniel Jones, and then let May take over. Very quickly, Yates, for those who've not seen your mock draft, how many quarterbacks do you have going in round one?
Five in total, including five in the top 12, Greeny. So we've talked about four of them. I guess I'll leave the last one out there for a surprise, but he might have gone to a school that wears colors that happen to mirror the suit I have on right now.
Fair enough. All right, Yates, the mock draft is up and ready to go. You can check out promos like Seeing Green exclusively in the ESPN Bet app as the official sportsbook of ESPN. It's the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play. Coming up, would Caitlin Clark become the GOAT if she wins the championship this weekend? A voice you trust says the answer is no, and you have to hear why next. Plus, LeBron, Steph, both put together big nights and big wins, but we'll tell you why only one of them has any real chance. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
All right, we are back on Get Up, bottom of the hour, and there she is, the biggest star in sports, Caitlin Clark in Iowa, arriving in Cleveland yesterday for the Final Four, less than 24 hours after over 12 million people watched them beat LSU right here on ESPN. Rebecca Lobo was on with me yesterday here on Get Up. She offered this take on where Caitlin Clark ranks in the GOAT debate. Listen carefully.
When you get into the GOAT conversation, does she need to win a national championship in order to be considered the GOAT? I don't think so. I think she needs to win multiple national championships to be in that kind of a conversation. Caitlin is an incredible player. She has done more in terms of bringing attention and eyeballs to the women's game than any player we have ever seen. That's a mere fact. But when you want to talk about the GOAT conversation and you add championships to the mix, you have to understand the history of the game.
And she got into detail on that history of the game, including players like Stewie from Connecticut and all that, who won four championships and was the National Player of the Year three times, and others of the all-time greats. And so here's Chinnea Ogumbuike, who herself was one of the great college basketball players in recent memory. And so, Chinnea, look, nothing could have been more wonderful than the fact that over 12 million people watched this game the other night. And that means that a lot of people are coming to the sport who don't know the history of it. And to them, they're thinking, wow, Caitlin Clark, she's the best player ever. What did you think of the way Rebecca broke that down?
So what do we know today? Caitlin Clark is the greatest scorer that the college game has ever seen. The greatest three-point shooter the women's game has seen. But there is a huge if when we talk about Caitlin Clark and the GOAT. If you win a national championship. Because we never talk about GOATs commonly, you know, in the NBA and throughout sports and not mention championships. Caitlin is absolutely on the Mount Rushmore of women's college basketball. And I'm saying this as a person who has played against Candace Parker, who has played against Maya Moore, who has played against Diana Taurasi. I literally played versus Stewie in my final four when she got her first of four. So that is the only thing that is missing on her resume. Now the count, I'm a little bit open on the number of championships because we have never seen a player with her kind of usage accounting for 71% of Iowa's offense, that type of rate win. If she does, it will force me to reconsider. But right now, yes, championships are the standard for GOAT conversation. But what she has done for the overall game, there's no arguing. She's the most impactful player that we have ever seen of my generation entering the sport of women's basketball based off what you mentioned, those viewership numbers and just the attention and the sellouts. But championships will definitely open the door to see if she can move from Mount Rushmore to the overall GOAT.
Well, that's the thing. And I have been championing on the radio for years that there is a difference between being the best and being the greatest. Being the greatest takes into account all of your accomplishments, and that takes into account championships and all the rest of that. And she can't catch Diana Taurasi or Breonna Stewart and some of the other players that you mentioned because she only has one chance to win one title. That said, is she the best for people who have not been watching the sport and not seen some of the other great players, including Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, whoever else is on that list? Is she the best player you've seen?
Well, best player to me means many different facets of the game. But one thing that I have seen, especially in that last win versus LSU, the most impressive part is how Caitlin continues to meet the moment. That game was no joke. The assignment was not easy. This is the defending national champions, the Tigers, and she has no margin for error. She is so different. When I heard her say, oh, I was never nervous going into these games, I just can't wait till it's game time. As someone myself who has played in three Final Fours, I was nervous. She's just different. We talk about how she's the greatest scorer, but now we're watching her also become a great leader. People need to start talking about leadership because leaders make their teammates do the impossible. And we've seen two games straight where versus Colorado and LSU, players that average 4 points and 11 points a game are now tying season highs or even getting highs for overall in their careers with 16 and 21 on that stage. That is the quality that you cannot put a stat to. That is what she is emerging in this senior campaign, being the best leader that Iowa demands.
And a force multiplier as well. I listen to people like you and our other experts in this sport telling us that they're not the best team. Iowa has beaten teams that might have more overall talent than they do, and she has elevated everyone else's level around her. So outstanding there, and obviously the games the other night were magnificent, and hopefully Friday night will be just as good. In the meantime, Chennai, stay with me. Let's do some NBA conversation. Alan Hahn, get over here. I want to watch Victor Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Here's a matchup we want to see forever. Alan, this was worth the price of admission.
Absolutely was. A present MVP against a future MVP. Look at him stretch and make that finger roll. Look at his arm just reaching out. Go, go, gadget arms. That's an old reference, but...
Watch this play here. Watch that. On Jokic.
How does he get that block? He covers so much ground, but keep an eye on him as the play continues.
Watch this go the other way. So first he's over there. He's going to get the rebound and put it back. Now, Bubba, stay with it. Stay with it. Jokic is not taking kindly to this.
Has to finish it with the dunk and a little grin afterwards because he knew he was coming. 20 years old. Look at these two. And you can tell Jokic really enjoyed this matchup.
Jokic had 42 and 16. Wembanyama had 23 points, 15 rebounds, 9 blocks, and 8 assists. And after he made this bucket here, the game was tied at 105. But in the final minute, it was Denver able to untie it. Christian Brown finding Michael Porter Jr. He knocks this down, and the Nuggets go on to win it 110 to 105. They're the best team. But Victor Wembanyama, how close do you think he could possibly be, Alan, at this point to being the best player?
The best player in the league?
The MVP of the league.
I think he's within a year or two. I think he's that close. It all is going to obviously depend on how the Spurs build around him. But think about just what he's doing since the All-Star break. 23 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. I had to look it up. Over the course of a season, the player who last averaged those numbers was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1979. That's what we're talking about here. He came close to a quadruple-double in this game, which we haven't seen in the NBA since 1994. Remember what Russell Westbrook did with the triple-double, bringing that back to the
sure.
game?
Yeah.
The quadruple-double might be called the Wemby when we're all done here, because he is the type of player that can do all of that, have that type of impact on the entire game, both ends of the floor. At 20 years old, we showed you a highlight that never stopped. He went from one end to the other, to the other, to the other. Yes, it ended with him getting dunked on, but the fact that he got back to cover that dunk attempt from Jokic tells you all you need to know about his impact at both ends of the floor.
Chennai, what are the things that you and Malika and company will be saying about him, not just on NBA today, but into the future? What are the right things to say about the limitless potential of this player?
Yeah, they call him the alien for a reason because his talents are extraterrestrial. And I have to disagree with Alan a little bit, like 2 years to become the MVP. The thing that predicates most valuable player is winning. And I think the Spurs are more than 2 years away from winning in a meaningful way. But immediately when I saw the first few games from Wemby this season, I was like, this is a guy that will eat up literally every stat. And then the fact that we have him blocking Jokic 4 times in one game. This is the guy that a lot of people favor as the MVP. It's so far that he has moved so fast forward through his one rookie year campaign where he's been able to prove that he can go toe-to-toe with the best.
All right, so let's leave that one there for the moment because I have a lot of other things I want to get to. We can talk more about him as we go, but let's run the floor. LeBron James and the Lakers win yesterday. LeBron had 23. Lakers beat the Raptors. They've won 7 out of 8. Allen, are they a legit threat in the West?
They are if they can get the 7th seed. You don't want the 8th seed. They're still battling in the play-in. If they have to play the Denver Nuggets, it's not a good matchup. But OKC, Minnesota, if they have to play those two, much better matchup for them. But LeBron does not look like he's slowing down. Anthony Davis, to his credit, has played all season, been available, and this team's starting to find its form once again, just like they did last year.
I think they are dangerous. Is Golden State, they beat the Mavericks last night despite 57 from Luka and Kyrie. Golden State currently 10th in the West. Chiney, is this too little too late for Steph and company?
It absolutely is. If this were game one of the NBA season, you look at the stats, Steph Curry, only a few points, 13, as you see there, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. You're like, wow, everyone, the supporting cast is stepping up. But unfortunately, it's too late. They're trapped in the play-in.
And then let's get back to the Bucks. We talked about them a little earlier. They lose to the Wizards yesterday.
Wow.
In a game that Damian Lillard doesn't play. I mean, Allen, let's go right to the soundbite here so we can react to it, and then we'll talk. This was Doc Rivers. They've been particularly bad on the road, and they lose this inexcusable game. Listen to Doc afterwards.
We don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. And that's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
We don't bring what? I mean, this is a championship aspiring team.
It's not. Not if that is true. And how do I take you seriously as the Milwaukee Bucks if that's what you're about? 18-20 on the road. You go into what? There's nobody in the building. It's empty. It's an open gym, basically. And you go in there and you just kind of like don't even give an effort. Give credit to the Wizards and Brian Keefe. They've done a great job trying to just stay up, keep something going in Washington where it's been despair for many years. But you got to be kidding me, even without Dame Lillard. And I just feel like what you're seeing there is not just barely over 500 with Doc as the coach. So nothing really has changed on that front. But Giannis gets a triple-double, plays outstanding. They really miss Drew Holiday. They're going to show. That's going to show in the playoffs. And if they get the wrong matchup in the first round, they could be out again in the first round.
Like, oh, by the way, Joel Embiid and the 76ers, who we saw at the beginning of the show. Chiney, are the Bucks a legitimate threat in the East?
Unfortunately, no. And I'm someone that does, I'm like glass half full, but right now they are not because they're 1-6 when Dame Lillard does not play. They need both stars out there, but they also need better perimeter defense. They need better transition defense, and they will have to show up on the road. The biggest miracle is how they've been able to remain number two in the East, considering the ups and downs, the fluctuations of their play. I still think when you have two of the better players in the East on the floor, you have a chance, but right now they put all their chips in on Dame Lillard, and unfortunately, that has opened up holes that they have had trouble to plug in.
Absolutely. Well, we've got good hoops tonight. Our Wednesday doubleheader, you're going to see Jason Tatum and the Celtics, easily the best team in the NBA. They take on OKC tonight, 7:30 Eastern. Then Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs take on KD and the Suns. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. Meanwhile, earlier this week, I asked the biggest draft questions. Coming up next, Lewis Riddick is going to give you all 5 answers. Stuff is happening, people. Don't miss it next. Come on, get up. Back on Get Up. Wake up call, everybody. Bryce Harper, what a night.
Lefty on lefty.
Yeah.
It's hooked deep to right center field. No doubt about it. A 3-homer game. He caps it off with a grand slam. What a night to be Bryce Harper.
And Bryce Harper goes Reggie Jackson on us. And here's the crazy thing about it. He was hitless on the season entering that game. He was 0 for 11. Then he hit 3 home runs. He's the first player since at least 1900 to have a 3-homer game when entering that game without a hit. Okay, let's go back to the NFL draft. We have made it to April. 3 weeks from tomorrow, we will be in Detroit for round one of the NFL draft. And on Monday, I did a green list, Lewis, where I asked what I think are the 5 biggest questions surrounding this year's draft. So now you're going to answer them.
Sweet.
Number five, I put the receiver question in there. Will Malik Nabers surpass Marvin Harrison and become wide receiver one in this class?
Okay, I wouldn't be shocked if it happens because that is gaining some traction, and for good reason. Look, the young man is just rocked up, put together. He's like Jamar Chase is what he looks like. Thick lower body, great run after the catch. He's an inside-outside guy who really does a lot of his work from the slot, but he can go outside and play the X and the Z. But I will just say this, Marvin Harrison Jr. is that prototypical X wide receiver. That guy who can line up one-on-one, you know they're throwing it to him, and there's nothing you can do about it because he will simply go up over top of you as the bigger man. And let's not forget this, too. Don't forget his 2022 tape, okay? Don't forget the performance that he put on in the CFP in the college football playoffs against Georgia where he went absolutely berserk. And that was the game that everyone said C.J. Stroud is the man. He was one of the reasons why. And remember, he got hurt in that game, and that's probably one of the reasons why they lost that game. He's still the dude. I would still say he goes first. But it's nip and tuck, man.
Yeah, those two will probably both go top six-ish. Yeah. And then there's the receiver, Rome Odunze from Washington, who's also outstanding. Okay, question number four. Could Jaden Daniels supplant Caleb Williams at number one?
Theoretically, yeah, he could. I believe in the end, if he goes to the right situation and everything falls in line for him, he has the skill and the mental makeup to supplant him as the best quarterback in this draft. Will he go number one? Probably not. Intel tells you that Chicago is pretty much locked in on Caleb. But you know what? Intel has been wrong before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this. If you were standing at both of these guys' workouts and you were standing behind or foot next, you know, right close to Jaden Daniels and right next to Caleb Williams, I'm telling you this. As much as I love Caleb, and I need to emphasize that, because you like one guy a little bit more doesn't mean you hate the other. I would take Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, that ball came off his hand, and I was like, see, this is the benefit of being there, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the benefit. And again, I said this earlier, forget the whole thing about he's skinny, he's a beanpole, he won't be able to take NFL hits. He's put together in his lower half. He's a young man. He'll put on weight up top. And he's 6'4". He looks like the prototype.
So that's one quarterback question. Question number three is also quarterbacks. Could J.J. McCarthy supplant Drake May and be the third quarterback taken?
Of course he could. You know why? Because this league is subjective, man. And all it takes is one team to say, hey, look, we think even though this was not a quarterback-centric offense that he ran, if we put it a little bit more quarterback-centric and asked him to do a little bit more and asked him to put more of the burden on his shoulders, he's more than equipped to handle it physically and mentally. Look at where he went to school. Look at the kind of winning that they had, the kind of coaching that he had, the kind of offense that he ran and the decisions he made within that offense. You'd have a hard time finding any fault with what he did. What you have a hard time with is, again, like most people point to, but it wasn't his offense. He was on a good team. He benefited from great players around him. Well, what national champions don't benefit from that?
Right.
But what I'm saying, though, is this. From a physical perspective, if you looked at J.J. McCarthy and you looked at Drake May, and you just looked at the raw power that Drake May has, you're going to go, I want that one. But if you look at the total package and look at what J.J. did for his team and the kind of performances he put on in the biggest moments and some of the big throws he made, you'd go, oh, maybe not. Maybe I do like this guy. And that's what makes it a must-see night one for us.
And question number two, I'm looking for a number here. Will we have four, five, or six quarterbacks go in round one?
Oh, man. I think it could be six. Because I think Bo and Michael are going to get in there. I think they're going to both get in the first round. And so, obviously, J.J. is going to go in the first round. And then the big three, you know, with Jake, Drayden, Jaden, and Caleb. Yeah, I think it'll be six. I think six will go in the first.
You know, I'm going to bring Kmart in here earlier than we were planning to because I want her to pick up on that thought. Because the sixth one, we think, is Michael Penix, who everyone in America saw, you know, play so brilliantly for Washington. He played one of the great games you've ever seen against Texas. And I saw in your notes this morning, you do believe Penix goes in round one.
I do think so. Even last night I was told, keep an eye on the Raiders as a team that currently the Raiders are at 13. They could take him at 13. Perhaps he could go even higher. So the Raiders, who already have, you know, Aiden O'Connell, they've got Gardner Minshew on the roster right now. But that's a team that I've been told, look out for him.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, they're in the quarterback market.
Yep.
I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. They desperately would like to get up to get Jaden.
Because why? Because Antonio loves
Pierce,
him.
Right.
He absolutely loves him. Well, and so So I'm just saying, look, they're going to be making moves for sure. The Raiders, the Raiders are going to, I believe, are going to get a little itchy and say, look, we need to get into a spot where for sure we can guarantee that we're going to get somebody that we
want. Well, so that is question number one. Who trades up for the quarterback?
Well, it's them and Minnesota. It's those two.
Look for Minnesota, the Raiders, the Giants. Everybody wants to move up. And you've got teams like the Cardinals, the Chargers, and even the Titans at seven. Who are open for business wanting to move back. So I could easily see.
Sure. Raiders and Vikings are the no-brainer. The Raiders want to have to get one. And the Vikings are making moves now so they can make moves. And
they want to be higher. The Vikings want to be higher. By the time the draft starts, they want to be way higher in the draft order. We'll see.
What does way higher mean? Does way higher mean getting up to three to take one of the quote-unquote big three? Or does it mean getting up ahead of the Giants?
Yeah, I think five is the spot.
Because I don't think they even – I don't think they can with what they have draft-wise. Right. I don't think – with the capital they have, I don't think they can get that high.
It depends on New England, right? I mean, to me, I feel like so much of
the Raiders or –
Vikings.
Vikings.
I feel like so much of this hinges on what the Patriots want to do.
Yeah.
Because who is available is what will ultimately go a long way towards deciding this stuff.
Yeah.
If the Patriots decide they're dead set on taking a quarterback and they're good with the one that is there, then it doesn't matter what Minnesota wants and what the Raiders want. But if the Patriots are willing to trade out, that's the intrigue.
Well, you know what? Look, it just depends. Like, who are they happy with these teams, whether it be Minnesota or the Raiders? Are they happy with someone outside of the supposed big three?
Right.
Okay, and if they are, then they're still in play to move up. They're still in play to say, hey, look, Chargers at five, we need to get there because we don't know what the Giants are doing at six. So regardless of what the Patriots do with three, the Vikings and the Raiders are still in play. They still, at all costs, I would believe, want to jump ahead of the Giants and make sure that they don't pick off then that next group of guys, namely a guy like J.J. McCarthy.
Well, which is why I think it behooves the Giants to be considering doing this as well.
That's why, because you already know, if you're the Giants, you're sitting there and you're like, we have a decent picking spot, but not great if you're trying, because there's so many QB needy teams. That's why I could totally see six quarterbacks going around one, just because the demand is there, because so many teams, even if they have quarterbacks on the roster, still feel like we could get the franchise guy up in the top 10.
And a name everybody knows who's not going to get drafted in round one is Spencer Rattler. And I did the breakdown on him last night. He's an intriguing guy. It's not just the six guys who will go at the very beginning, but that obviously is where more of the attention is focused. We're here. Booger's on the way. Much more football as we go. But up next, the big man is back. And if he is indeed better than ever, then he's about to shake up everything. The highlights are next. Get up on ESPN.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.